That is Ain't No Moonlight from the very early days, shall we say, of Buckin' Evans. How old is that song now?
Oh my gosh.
1874.
Was that 2014?
Yeah, I guess it would have been, yeah.
End of 2014.
And, you've been around that long now, haven't you?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Seems ages, actually, doesn't it?
Blimey.
Because it was 2013 when we went to Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Kind of by normal expectations, we probably would have had about six albums out by now. I mean, we've only been together as a band about 4 years, I guess, and we're properly. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of the consistent question that's dogged us pretty much since day one, is when is the album coming out? And it's always it's always been quote unquote next year, but we can legitimately say next year now. going back to the album thing, it's just been a case of wanting to get it right and wanting to. I think so many bands fall into the same pitfalls of sticking a record out before they're really ready. I mean, it takes a while as a band to kind of get to know yourself and kind of get to find out what band you kind of want to be, really. Especially for us, I guess we've had a couple of kind of subtle changes of direction. Probably not discernible, I guess, to most, but for ourselves, it's kind of been a case of really honing in on what we wanted to do and finding who we are, as pretentious as that sounds. Mm. So.
And as I said earlier, you've done I know you kind of said you didn't think you'd done a lot of gigs, but you have worked quite hard. I mean, you know, I mentioned some of the festivals. Obviously the famous thing is supporting Slash in Arizona, but you did this thing in Spain with Thunder, the Azcena Festival.
Azcena,
I think.
And you said you really enjoyed that. How did that come about?
I think it was probably the shock factor for us because obviously we went to Spain. We were pretty well, very unknown at the time. We opened up one of the stages, and at that time, we honestly were worried that we weren't even going to have an audience.
Right.
The position of the stage was actually very useful because it was on the entrance of the festival. However, what started off as a set with, you know, a handful of people gathering, you know, by the end of the set was
a huge
crowd. Amazing. And the response was absolutely phenomenal. We were floored by it, really. And I think that turnaround and the expectation we had going in and then how we felt coming out, I think that, you know, you can't beat that.
I cried.
See, another classic line from Dom there.
I made him cry. Yeah. Honestly.
Yes.
Dom cried. Bob sighed.
How did it come about? Did they know of you, or just said the promoter?
Approached us. I couldn't think of the word then. Approached us and actually contacted Alan, didn't he?
Yeah.
Obviously, had been following us on social media. I think that's how it came about. And was keen to get us over there.
It's lovely when that happens, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like, sort of. It sounds cliche to sort of put too much emphasis on something that's abroad. You kind of make it, you build it up to something that it probably wasn't actually in reality. But it was a phenomenal gig. It was a 3-day festival. I'm trying to think who the headliners was. It was really cool. Yeah, cool. Really kind of cool, very festival in that respect. You had Chris Isaak headlining the one night, and you had John Fogerty headlining the other night. Cheap Trick were there. But really kind of a cool, eclectic kind of lineup.
Nice.
For us, I think, kind of really, you know, kind of fitted our kind of music very well, you know, the kind of type of audience that you had there. So yeah, it was brilliant, and I think if anything, kind of, you know, not to say you need things like that to keep you going, but inevitably things like that lift your confidence and kind of lift your spirits and kind of make you think that, you know, throughout the times when it's a little bit dark and not much happening and you're kind of really fighting to kind of keep things moving along, stuff like that really kind of, you know, kind of shines a light on things, which is nice, reinforces what you're trying to do. Yeah,
definitely.
And you've enjoyed some of the other festivals, Stone Free, of course.
Yeah,
that was an interesting one. Charlie Dent was the best, wasn't it?
Yeah, we did Lifelong Dream for Dom, for Bob rather. We did Downloads back in 2015.
Donington,
apparently. Yeah.
old school. He's old school me. Yeah.
Yeah, we did Download. We did the first year of Ramblin' Man. We did Stone Free at the O2 last year with Rainbow. Obviously, it's Cana out of Spain. So yeah, we've done some kind of cool festivals, I guess.
So, Bob, was it special playing with on the same bill as Rainbow? Must have been.
Yeah, but it wasn't the Rainbow that we know.
You know. And they're not as good a band, are they? To be fair.
No.
Careful.
Careful.
They're not. Come on.
It was nice to see Richie Strapp on the White Strat.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and play some riffs.
Instead of a loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, on the same bill, on the same T-shirt as Rainbow. Yeah,
there you go. Cool. Mission accomplished.
But, but Donington was a thing for me, playing on the same ground that I went to the first one, and yeah, you were there too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Same
excellent.
Muddy,
and I actually wore my shirt that I bought, Rockin' the Castle.
Oh, yeah, I remember that
I did.
One. Yeah,
I did.
Cool.
I think it was a lot smaller when you bought it.
No, quite emotional.
We brought a lot of mud back with us from Donington that year.
Yeah. Genuinely, hand on heart, I'm still finding bits of mud sort of wedged in bits of gear that I took along. yeah, it was a hell of a weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Steelhouse was a bit like that this year as well.
Yeah.
As a contrast,
yeah.
Dom had a lovely little saying that we brought back from Ascana, because we were talking to one of the stage techs, and who was a female, and she came up to us after we played and said, "Oh, you give me chicken skin."
Oh,
so
yeah.
Running up and down her arm. So our goosebumps or goose pimples, theirs is chicken skin.
Okay. Oh, do you know what? I forgot about that. With us, Kana, we found out in the wake of it, I guess, all the reviews that inevitably came off the back of it. Sal caused a bit of an international incident, unwittingly. We just found an article. I mean, you kind of use Google.
Hang on a minute. Mild mannered Sally caused an international incident.
Well, this is sort of.
She was fighting in the hotel bar at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, this is genuinely, and this is all kind of being done through Google Translate, so maybe the subtleties of the article were lost, but I came across something, just kind of doing a bit of a Google search on our name to try and find reviews. Some reference to how Sal was the only female artist at the festival, like full stop. At which point this had gone up to kind of like the city council for comment on why there weren't more females involved, etc., all this kind of stuff. And actually they came out, the kind of the promoters, the organisers, all the kind of people associated with the festival came out and said they would make a considerable more effort next year to make sure it was a more gender varied bill, should we say. So Sal, mild mannered Sal, causing ripples up to the
I think they should have coffee machines open in the show, anyway.
Yeah.
Now one that I want to ask you about, because I think this was a great feather in your cap, is you did a special show in Manchester for the charity that were you know, for the people who were injured in the bombing.
To be honest, that kind of, I think it obviously caught everyone kind of out of left field, but for us, we'd announced the show the day before. Obviously, the kind of show had been in the works for a little while, and we'd been genuinely very excited to play Manchester because it was somewhere that we hadn't quite managed to get to on the tour before. So we were very excited to go there, and then we announced the show the day of the event, actually, the day of the bombing.
Yeah.
I think it was. And kind of, it only kind of really sunk in then when you sat there watching Sky News at 2 in the morning and kind of seeing all this horrendous kind of stuff unfold, that, you know, if we could do anything in any kind of small way, you know, to kind of, I don't know, you kind of, there's not much you can do in situations like that. You're watching feeling so helpless, and the only thing that kind of came to mind that we could do was make the show a benefit gig for everyone that kind of, you know, the families and everyone affected. So yeah, we announced the morning after that it would be a benefit show, and yeah, all the kind of profits from that show went to the I think it was the Just Giving page set up by the Manchester Evening News. I think by the time we donated the money, I think it was in excess of about 2 million, maybe. I can't remember what the final figure was. It went astronomically high. So yeah, our couple of hundred quid was kind of paled into insignificance in comparison to some of the donations, but you know, it's all you can do in a situation like that, try and feel like you're helping, you know.
Yeah, fair play to you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those things.
A traffic warden tried to, you know, tell us off for parking on the corner.
Oh, yes, I got into a bit of a fight.
International incident. Now fighting in Manchester.
Genuinely, I was a bit worried. I was about to get out of the van and chase after you because we were, we had a bit of an altercation with the parking warden.
He came over, he said, "You can't park there." I said, "Well, were you loading?" "Yeah, but you shouldn't park there." I said, "Well, we've got to carry all the stuff from out there, down the road, and around the corner." "Yeah, but what if there was a..."
It all kicked off. But you jumped... and once it all kind of unfolded, he walked off. And Sal leapt out of the van quite enthusiastically. And I didn't realise it was only to check that the back door was shut. But I genuinely, hand on heart, thought you were going after him for a second. So I thought...
He dropped his wallet.
Yeah.
"Let me at him. Put him up."
But as it happened, she was just checking the door was shut.
It seems that... So Sally is being painted as the bouncer of the team.
Any trouble, I'll go through Sal. But
okay.
Scrappy Ann Evans is
Scrappy.
Okay, we're going to do another song. I've got another special question I want to ask you in a moment as well, which I'm going to hold off on. But we're going to do another song now, which I believe is called Sinking. Is that right?
It is.
It is.
And this is another one that's going to be on the album.
Yeah.
And we're going to try and do the Facebook Live proper this time because it didn't quite work last time.
Yeah.
What happened, Chris? It broke.
I think...
social media.
Hopeless phones. Yeah, so...
Okay. So if you want to watch it on Buck and Evans' Facebook page, apparently it will be there. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls... This is Buck and Evans, recorded live at GTFM, BCFM and Rock Radio. This is called Sinking.
Sometimes, floating down the river, with my best friend by my side, you'll see me watching trees do as they please. Ain't nobody gonna make me decide. It's like a domino. One falls down and the rest will flow. And I see a difference every day. When the world turns again, see what they say. Cause only you make my heart ache. Something quite cool inside. Only you keeps my heart from sinking. All I know is bring on the tide. At times, I'm looking in the mirror, searching for things I'll never see. You're no good, you really should. What were you thinking? Every day they strike you 3 out of 3. It's like a domino. One falls down and the rest will flow. And I see a difference. World turns again. See what they say. Cause only you can make my heart ache. Something quite cool inside. Only you keeps my heart from sinking. All I know, when it rains, it doesn't rain, it pours. I've heard it all again, again and before. You shake the idioms, they roll off your tongue. There's something cute about being the one. 1,000 words are hard to explain. Actions speak louder and cause too much pain. I've perfected my way. Something quite cool inside, yeah. Only you keep my heart from sinking. All I know is bring on the tide. Ooh.
Brilliant. What a great track that is.
Thank you.
That is that's going to be an epic, I think, on the...
It's a lot longer than that, and we've actually got a cellist and violinist coming into the studio on Sunday to lay down the strings for it as well, so yeah, it's going to sound amazing, I think.
Yeah,
massive.
That's a less insightful input from down there. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, though, is it?
No, that sounds great. I love that one. Who would have written that?
Well, you came up with the riff, I think, originally, and then...
Yeah, I think I had the chord... Yeah, I remember now. I had the chord progression from a while ago, and it was it was another song, the ending, actually. If it sounds like another song, it's because it is. two songs. No, it just kind of... There were a couple of tie-ins with the kind of melody and kind of chord progression with the first half of the song that just kind of felt like it made sense to put the kind of second half
I love that bit where it breaks down and goes back in again. That's lovely.
When we got Bob on Something More Than a Box, that's quite a kind of cool drum moment as well.
Oh, I bet it is.
Looking forward, that's one of the ones we've been feeling.
We've actually got a few tracks now that have, you know, just become totally epic in actually writing them and the length of them, and the, you know, although we're not trying to overproduce anything, by the very nature of how we've written them, they do sound really, really
big,
yeah. Mm. So, and we've managed to achieve that live as well. You know, it's not just a production thing. So,
yeah, definitely, I can see that the music has kind of moved somewhat, progressed.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's lovely feedback. Thank you.
Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about, because obviously I follow what you do, and one thing that I've noticed. That I think is very interesting,
I noticed that too.
I don't stalk you, Bob. But your artwork, I want to ask you about that, because it's very different. It's very kind of I don't know what you call it, but somebody, I don't know who it is, is responsible.
It's Christopher.
Okay.
And his iPhone.
Yeah. Okay, Instagram's great, isn't it?
But what you do for the posters?
Oh yeah, fantastic!
It's a kind of a bit of a unique style.
Yeah, stolen is probably the word, to be honest. genuinely,
so honest,
I think,
isn't he?
Kind of just gig posters tend to be a little bit bland, I think, in my opinion. I'm not an artist, I'm not a designer by any kind of stretch of the imagination, to be honest, but I just tend to, you know, kind of inevitably through Facebook or Instagram or any of that kind of stuff, you see gig posters popping up, and it's kind of, you know, the archetypical post picture of the band, where and when, all that kind of stuff. And just, I can't remember for what gig I did it first, but it just kind of, it seemed like
Bristol,
a cool...
I think it was.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Yeah, we did one for Bristol. The kind of vision I've set myself, at least, is to try and capture a cool element of the city we're playing in. So for Bristol, it was the Clifton Suspension Bridge. For Manchester, it was a Manchester bus. The idea I did have at some point was to try and do famous brands that have come from cities. So for Newcastle, we had Newcastle Brown Ale. We had where else did we play? Glasgow.
Glenfiddich.
Yeah, we had Glenfiddich kind of inspired thing for Glasgow. It was initially going to be Tunnock's Tea Cakes, and I couldn't really find anything that worked too well. So none of it is original in that respect. It's ideas and images that I've kind of nicked from elsewhere, but turning them into something that's a little bit more unique to the gig, I guess, is
I think they should be good on T-shirts and calendar.
I agree. Honestly, Chris, I'm not just saying this because you're here. I think it's very unique.
This is
the cover of the EP or the three track music from the Coach House. You know, it's a bit different. It is different.
Yeah. That is actually some artwork. What was that? That was a tourist. A lot of them are kind of old tourism board kind of artwork. Hand-drawn kind of really cool artwork. That kind of ephemera kind of stuff. And yeah, it was just really nice artwork to kind of to nick. So.
And will the album be of that ilk?
Potentially. We're kind of... Go on.
That is the big discussion at the moment, really. Two things. Name. And image, or you know what it
about
should look
time
like.
Is a good title.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually about time. We
the
got
name,
as well.
Well, the name of the album. Mm. Oh, so you haven't settled on a name?
No,
what
and
about
we.
An idea.
Yeah, I don't think we can repeat that on here though.
Or Metalers.
You don't really want to call it Buck and Evans?
No.
You put that forward a while ago, didn't you?
Did I?
I don't mind that. I think. My gripe with having the band name as the first album is it can be construed as like lack of ideas. I like the idea of having a self-titled album, and I think bands that have done that have really made sure that it's kind of a big moment for them in terms of maybe a change of direction or kind of songs that they feel particularly proud of. Because it's kind of a statement in itself, isn't it? You know, calling the album the same name as the band, it's very much a kind of, this is us, you know, this is what represents us. So, and not to say the first album isn't that for us, it might well be, in it, you know, kind of, who knows how things go, it might be the only album we ever make, you know, let's see how this one goes. But so long I can spend in a van with Bob. But no, like genuinely kind of,
well, me and Dom have a lovely time in the van. So
yeah, Dom and Sal
we're
sat in the front,
in the front, and we have a really good laugh.
Bob sits in the back and steals the pillows I buy from services. So
and you string your guitar up
across his lap. Yeah,
yeah.
Taking
his own. But no, I don't know. I don't mind the idea of the first album being called Buck and Evans, but I think it's kind of, it's a cool thing.
Richards
and Hill. Here we go. It's a cool statement to say for a big moment. So
Hill and Richards.
Daniel.
Well, you could go on around, I suppose, about, you know, that forever, couldn't you? Really?
It's about
finding the right title for the right time.
And I think we'll know as soon as we hear it, and it's like, yeah, that's it. We just don't know what it is at the moment.
No, we need to put our finger up to sort something out now, don't we?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Either way,
if it's going to be released soon, yeah, it'd be a good idea, wouldn't it?
So it sounds to me like the artwork and title are kind of on the way.
Yes.
We've got a couple of ideas I've been bandying around.
The album might be finished before the artwork.
No doubt.
But do the whole Joe Walsh thing. You bought it, you name it. So,
what album's that, Dom?
The album.
What album?
The album.
Oh, that album.
But yeah, we're getting there.
Cool. Okay. So what happens, do you have a long-term plan after the album? I mean,
millionaires.
People will want to see you playing.
Within the year. We're going to do the Kate Bush thing, and we're not going to tour it at all. No, the plan is very much to get out and play to as many people as humanly and physically possible.
Because I think that, you know, that the proof of the pudding for any band is in the live performance.
Yeah.
And having seen you quite a few times now, I think, you know, that's where you will excel particularly.
Yeah.
That's what we feel, and that's what feedback is generally from the public. We've had a nice development recently about, you know, it's basically an agent in Spain wanting to jump on board with us and look at more.
Because of the festival?
Yes, yeah.
Right.
And look, because of that response.
Look to manage things in Europe, so.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
And I think that would be a great move for us.
Yeah.
Do you have an agent in the UK?
We're going to see how it goes with the agent in Europe and see how things progress. And it's a bit of a kind of funny one for us. We've had a couple of agents, and for whatever reasons, it's not worked out particularly well with any of them. And I think, especially in hindsight, looking back, people, especially going back maybe 2-3 years, were very quick to pigeonhole us as a blues band, which for us didn't really kind of fully encapsulate what we were about. And that was one of the things, I guess, which inspired the move away from the... We were never an out-and-out blues band, and that was in itself one of the issues, is we would get put on blues festivals, and then suddenly you kind of, you know, you rock it up a little bit, and people are kind of, you know, peeling their... sort of caps back for being blown away by a rock number or whatever. And it's just, yeah, we wanted it, and still is a case of very much wanting to find the right guy who's gonna kind of really put us in the situations where we excel and people kind of get it. And I think that, again, not hark on about it, I think that was a big moment for us with Ascana, because it was the first time we've played in front of a very varied audience. It wasn't an out and out rock festival, it wasn't a blues festival, it was a kind of bit of everything and a really cool eclectic mix, and the response was just overwhelmingly brilliant. It was
a rock festival at heart, but such a mix of genres.
I mean, to have kind of like Chris Isaak headlining the one night, you know, with what Chris Isaak music, I don't know how you describe Chris Isaak, but Michael Kiwanuka and a couple of newer guys, really cool kind of.
That's so alleged to it.
Yeah, so it was a big moment for us in terms of kind of realising the potential of what we do, I guess.
For somebody who was, what should we say, listening to you for the first time, I think would find it a bit difficult to describe the kind of music you do. I mean, I can understand the blues thing because you come from a bit of a blues background previously, what Sully does makes it very different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is nice. And then Bob brings the kind of rock edge to it, yeah. So does Dom. So it's a bit of everything.
It's I think
that would be maybe a disadvantage to you when you're choosing gigs to go out with people.
Choosing agents as well, I guess. You want someone with agents, they're very kind of, or at least in our experience, are very keen to kind of to pigeonhole you and put you in a kind of nice, tidy little box where they can sort of, that's what they can describe you as and that's what they can go forward. When it's something that involves a little bit more thought process, I guess, and using your ears as opposed to your eyes and all that kind of stuff, it tends to kind of confuse people if they're not willing to put the effort in, which sounds like I'm very much laying the blame at other people, and I guess part of that needs to be addressed with us, you know, if we're confusing people. But I think at heart, I think you will, hopefully you'll reap the rewards of doing it for the right reasons, and we write the music that we want to write, we play the music that we enjoy playing, and if people enjoy it, and hopefully and clearly, I guess, off the back of some gigs we've done recently, that's very much the case.
It would have been easy actually for us to write some classic rock stuff, and it would be easy to write some blues rock stuff, but we've just literally written what's come out at that moment in time. And
Sully, there is only in my book there's only two types of music, good or bad,
right? We fall somewhere in the middle.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, when you've got the likes of Bernie, who is a great fan of yours, who's a good friend of mine, saying great things about you. I mean, he came in to he was sat in that seat where you are, and we talked about you.
Probably
didn't hear it on the radio, but yeah, we talked about you. And
Bernie's a sweetheart.
He thinks you're a great guy, and you know, his legacy in the business, and you know, I know you're a modest guy, but you do have a lot of peers who rate the band.
I guess I've never been one, like, personally, I can't speak for the rest of the guys, I've never been one to try and get too bogged down in, it's lovely at the end of the day, people saying nice stuff about you is always going to be a nice little kind of feather in your cap, or just kind of little incentive to keep on going. But you know, as soon as you start taking too much notice of the good press, you've got to take equal amount of notice of the bad stuff. And we've had bad reviews, you know, inevitably. It's kind of, you know, and you kind of glean what you can from them, and if there is anything that you genuinely feel that a bad review addresses that you kind of maybe not noticed, take that forward. But I've never been one to kind of read my own press, so to speak, too much.
Well, I was trying to be Joss Stone at one time, wasn't I?
Yeah, that was one particularly bad gig review we had.
It was a bad gig.
It wasn't bad. I think we played all right, actually. I think that's the Black Heart in Camden. We did a show there a while ago, but it was a funny one. Kind of, if you get a bad review off the back of a bad gig, then hold your hands up. You kind of get it, you know. You see where they're coming from. But I thought we played all right, actually. But I was a poor imitation of Jack White, which that hand on heart, I get the some
Jack Black,
yeah. like you get some sort of comparisons or sort of kind of stuff like that level that you sometimes, and you get it, you know. But the Jack White thing, apart from being the palest guy in South Wales, I didn't quite get that. And Sal was a poor imitation of Joss Stone as well, so that was a great gig, but
I don't get either of those.
But yeah, you know, like I said, they come along, you know, you get the good reviews, you get the bad reviews, so if you start to pay too much stock in the good ones, you've got to take the bad ones.
I'm going to say at this point, and I don't want to incur the wrath of your hard woman here, somebody actually said to me once, because they hadn't heard you, Sully particularly, and said, Well, you know, does she sound like anybody? And I said, well, if you can imagine, and I've seen this on your website, if you can imagine a cross between Janis Joplin and Adele, I thought that was a good.
Yeah, that's been.
You don't mind that?
No, it's quite consistent feedback, and I can only be very flattered by that, really, can I? You know, it's two amazing female singers, so yeah, that's incredible.
Good. Okay. Well, I was a bit worried then. I nearly got off the chair and went for it. Oh, Scarper.
You've got to get past that to get the door. Don't worry. Again, very much the bouncer of the band.
I'll find the secret passage here. Anyway, listen, I do want to thank you very much for coming in. I know it was kind of a bit short notice.
Not at all.
But it all kind of fell into place eventually. And I really do hope that when the album comes out, tentatively in March that you will come in again. I'm not going to put pressure on you to come in and play this time, but we can play virtually all the tracks from the album and talk about them. And no doubt there'll be stories to tell about each particular song. So I'm really looking forward to that. So we think it'll be about March time, we hope.
We're not kind of keen to put a date on it, just in case we let people down.
Right.
But, yeah, it's definitely going to be early next year. We're as keen as anyone to get it out. I mean, again, not to hark on about the kind of pledge thing, but the impetus and the kind of inspiration behind doing that thing was to be in control of it ourselves and make sure that when it kind of comes out, it reaches as many people as it can. So,
of course. So
we're going to get all the kind of boring stuff. When I learned to play a G chord, I never thought I'd have to become a businessman as well, to be honest, but it's part and parcel of music
trouble,
these days,
isn't
it?
What do you think? While I've got you here, what do you think about the kind of there's two factors to this, really. Is the there's a sort of a fast food element to music these days, where people just download the one track, or which is worrying. Me and a friend of mine talk about it a lot. And the other thing that we're concerned about, so we were talking about this earlier, is the amount of gigs that are going on. And I appreciate that people need to do gigs to earn money, because they're not making it from the recorded product.
It's a vicious cycle, isn't it?
But some of the gigs, there's just too many. I mean, there was one incident in Bristol recently on a weekend that over the period of the weekend, there were 5 gigs. And obviously, you know, there was one particular gig on a Sunday night. I went to one of them, and that you could tell that there were people there that were at the other gig and that would have been at that gig had they not. And the problem is, for a young band like you, or fairly new band like you, you're all fighting for the same audience as X, Y, and Z, and it must be difficult.
Well, I think. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, and I think, you know, the problem is that audience has been, you know, the whole offering is being watered down then, isn't it? I think what we've also been really careful of is not actually playing too many gigs in the same area.
It's very easy. It's a mistake Welsh bands make, isn't it? It's to oversaturate.
In Wales.
It can get a little bit insular, I think, very quickly.
I think it's quite nice and refreshing for us, for people to come to us and say, oh, when are you playing in Wales again? When are you playing locally again? And I think, you know, maybe it's building up that fan base by playing away, you know, around the UK. But to keep some special shows back then, just for the one-offs in Wales, I think that hopefully makes a difference.
Maintains a sense of enthusiasm, I guess, for those shows as well. People want to go out their way to come to them, you know. At least that's always the plan. But yeah, it's a kind of, as you know, we were talking about earlier, I think Scott Rowley, a classic rock, put an article up recently which called rock an incestuous monster that's eating its own tail. And it can get a little bit kind of, it is like that on occasion. And there's so many gigs, and it's a vicious cycle. As I said, you know, kind of the money isn't there to be made from record sales, so you need to tour more. And the byproduct of that is so many gigs happening that the whole thing gets watered down, and suddenly you don't know where to turn. You can't see the wood for the trees. It's strange. I think it needs to be addressed on every level. I think kind of convenience is the way forward, in terms of you can't go back. You can't suddenly convince people that Spotify or Apple Music or Deezer are evils, because they've had that everything they want to listen to at their fingertips for a couple of years now. So you can't get people to backtrack from that and tell them to start buying vinyls again. You know, it's not going to work. So in that respect, and don't get me wrong, I'm a subscriber to Apple Music just because it's for the convenience of it. I can listen to wherever I want, wherever I am. And in that respect, it's brilliant. It just needs to be readdressed from the top down, how the artists are recompensed for their music being played, you know.
And I think as well, in the same way as we are very careful about that saturation on the ground, that's the approach that we've been talking about with the new agent and Alan in America.
Our manager.
Of how to approach European gigs, and you know, the reality of balancing people who work with not going out and spending 3 months on the road, but actually very carefully selecting the right sort of festival or event for us. And hitting some, you know, decent sized
quality over quantity,
and quality, so hopefully a balance of that and an audience we know currently buying our vinyls and CDs at the moment.
Like you said, it works on multiple levels, doesn't it? For the kind of commitments within the band, for the more boring kind of day-to-day stuff, doing the whole kind of quality over quantity things, make sure that there's a hungry audience there for you, and you know, you're not kind of spreading yourself too thin within the band personally. So yeah, that's very much a mantra going forward, I think. So
well, thank you for the insight, because you know, as a person who's been in, you know, in the business for a while, like yourselves, I kind of worry about it, because I do kind of think that it's going a bit strange.
Well, I guess not to be too negative and end on a downer, I guess as brilliant as huge festivals are, surely the lifespan of those is limited. Without naming names, I guess if you look at any of the big ones, especially the rock kind of stuff, you're not going to have headliners around in 10 years time. You're not going to have headliners in which people are going to be willing to pay however much a big festival ticket is, 200 quid for a weekend. You've got these kind of great new crop of young bands coming through, like Rival Sons and Temperance Movement, but why would you go and pay 200 quid to see them at a festival and stand in the mud for 3 days when you can go and see them in a 300 capacity venue? It's not viable, and it's not going to you know, the whole kind of Gene Simmons cliche of rock is dead. It's not dead, but it's starting to smell a bit funny, I think. It's
Well, here's a little story. Bob and I were talking about a band, some friends of ours that we know in a band, and Bruce Dickinson, the guy who does the Rising Stage at Rambling Man, I don't know if you know this, but about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, put together a band called Colour of Noise. They were great, and they came in here, him and Matt came down here before their album came out, and he was really fired up about this project. And he called me and he said, I'm trying to book a tour, and he said, I'm finding it so difficult. Nobody wants to know because they don't know the band. And he basically, they're finished. They didn't carry on. Three of the guys, the other three guys in the band left because they weren't doing much work, because it was all going a bit pear-shaped. He couldn't get an agent involved because nobody knew the band, etc., etc. They put out an album. He was in Little Angels, for God's sake.
You know, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, it's all well and good doing it for the love of it, but you've got to put bread on the table. It's got to be viable. You know, and as I said, not to end on a downer, but I guess for us especially, this album has got to kind of do something, quote unquote, to make the next one viable. As much as I would do this for the rest of my days, I love the guys in the band, I love the music we write.
Don't go too far.
I speak for myself. But yeah, you know, it's got to get to a point where it's viable to do another one. You know, you can't do it solely for the love of it, you know.
Look, second album, we might just become an R&B band, so...
Yeah, we're going to go where the money is, don't worry. You haven't even sold rap yet, mate.
Drum and bass.
Techno.
Can I put a plug in?
Yeah, of course you can.
Socket? Or?
Yeah. 13 amp. This Saturday, the Garage Venue...
You don't need to do that. I've got a level, okay. So you don't... Thank you.
This Saturday, the Garage Venue...
Yes, your
Swansea,
other band.
My other band.
Yes, Son of Man.
It's the Mickey Jones Christmas Jam.
Oh, okay, great.
And Chris Buck is actually going to come and join us.
Am I?
Well, yeah.
There we go. First news to me. No, I'm there.
He's coming down,
I'll be making... So I've got absolutely no idea what songs I'm playing. Not for the first time in my life.
Neither do I.
And how is that going? Because you just played Rockstar. Let me just quickly ask you about that.
That was fantastic.
Good.
We had a fantastic crowd. We all played really well. We had great sound and went down a bomb. So good. It was really good.
Please give my regards to the boys.
I will.
And you're welcome in again, anytime.
Thank you very much.
You know that.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, I'm glad it's going well. And it's you know... I mean, I suppose from your point of view, you're playing in two or three bands, which kind of helps, does it not?
So my wife says to me, where are you off tonight? I'm out again.
Oh, okay.
Who are you playing with tonight?
My kids say, going to work again, Dad, are you?
What does daddy look like?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Where's my dad? You know.
And no, I do believe they're listening today, so hi to your wife, who's recently had a birthday.
Yeah.
So happy birthday.
Lisa was 50.
Happy birthday, Lisa.
Happy birthday, Lisa.
Happy birthday, Lisa.
Happy birthday.
Excellent.
Thanks for putting up with Bob.
Yes.
You're a saint.
I'm not quite sure how you do it, but
She is amazing.
She is.
She's lovely.
Okay, we're going to do one more song, I believe.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, heck.
Did the last one work on Facebook?
I think it did, yeah. We'll find out later when we watch it back. Whether it sounds any good or not, I don't know.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, we're going to do a new track, or relatively new. This is the irony of putting a new quote-unquote album out, isn't there? All the tracks are like 3-4 years old, but they're new to everyone else. So, thoroughly bored of playing them by now.
No, you realise you're going to have to tour them for about a year.
Like I said, we're taking the Kate Bush approach. You'll never see hide nor hair of us, don't we? No, we'll be out and about. We'll be playing as much as we can. So this is a track called Common Ground.
Thank you.
And goes something like this.
Thank you.
parallels are not rehearsed, isn't it?
Yeah. Love it. Should we have 3-part harmony in there? It wasn't quite there.
About 1.5 parts, I think we had that.
Oh, I thought it was lovely. Very catchy, that one. Very catchy song.
Thank you.
The never giving up bit, you know, it's gonna, that's gonna work.
Yeah, I think so.
Excellent. Never give up trying to get those harmonies.
Well, thank you. Christmas coming. You know,
actually, he's outside. Hang on, where is he?
Hang on.
You hear him?
This is a joke worth having, isn't it?
Is that Santa? Is it?
He's trying to find some jingle bells on the back of his cajon, yeah, but it's not really working. There he is.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Wow. Thank you. That was worth waiting for, Bob. Great. So are you all busy at Christmas? I mean, obviously you're still recording.
Yeah, we've got a couple of dates left in the studio now. Things will hopefully be wrapped up by Christmas.
Wrapped up by...
Just, I can't help the comedy rolls out of me. Yeah, we'll be finished by Christmas. Excellent. Is very much the plan. I don't think anyone wants to drag this all recording like in the New Year.
No, not really.
And you're all going to relax a bit?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Well, I shut down altogether, business-wise, for Christmas. They switched my button off and I...
Hibernate.
I don't know about everybody else. I think you've probably got loads of gigs on, have you?
Yeah, a couple of things to do, but...
And is this your first Christmas as a married man?
It is, yes. Yeah, actually, yeah.
How splendid.
Yeah, not that I'll see too much of it, to be honest. She lives up the other end of the country at the moment because of work, so it's a perfect marriage in that respect. But, she'll be on for Christmas. So.
Oh, okay, good. But well, have a great time.
Driving on for Christmas. I'll be driving around for Christmas, so...
And Bob, what are you up to?
I'm playing tomorrow night, playing Saturday night.
Busy boy then?
Sunday off. Pardon?
Busy boy then?
Yeah, always.
Okay. And yeah. Dom, do you?
Hibernating,
yeah.
Okay, right, great. Well, thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
On thank you for having us.
Christmas festive special. It's certainly gone down as a special one for me, so I hope you enjoyed it as well.
Well, it's always lovely coming in here, actually. When was the last time?
A while ago now, probably a couple of years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I can't even remember what the occasion was. If there was one, there may not have been one. You may just have wanted to come in.
Was it at the time of one of the EPs?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it was maybe we released an EP, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
No, we don't have to wait.
No, it's always brilliant coming in.
We don't have to wait for an occasion to come see you. So
Next
Thursday.
Yeah, next Thursday.
Next Thursday. Never Neil next Thursday Hand of Dimes.
Brilliant.
Gate crash.
Yes, you're very welcome, of course. okay, well, thank you. Thank you for that. And I'm definitely going to book you for the album launch or whatever.
Absolutely.
And we can see you early in 2018 with the record.
With the album in hand.
I want to be the first person to play it.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Thank you guys. Appreciate it. And have a nice Christmas to you all.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you for playing live.
Tiny Tim in the corner.
Thank you for playing live and truly the songs sound great.
Thank you very much, acoustically.
So if they sound even half as good in the studio, I'm sure
that's where we set the barometer.
I'm sure they'll be brilliant.
As good as that,
yes, thank you, Bob. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Sally. Thank you, Dom.
Thanks very much.
We'll see you again soon. God bless
you. Cheers, Andy.